Today, let's create yet more money, says the IMF. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, World's Latest Post, covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. This past year or so, we've seen a massive creation of liquidity across the world as central banks ramped up their quantitative easing programmes and governments threw money into the mix in an attempt to revive economic momentum, inflation and preserve the unstable financial system. There is, of course, no simple way back, and currently the main impact appears to be asset inflation across stocks and property, while the real economy languishes, even as debt climbs. But now the IMF wants to join the fiat party, fiat meaning let it be, or created from nothing. Or as Wikipedia puts it, fiat money is a currency established as money, often by government regulation. Fiat money does not have intrinsic value and does not have use value. Its value is there only because a government maintains its value or because parties engaged in exchange agree on its value. Now, the International Monetary Fund has been a central institution of monetary cooperation for 75 years, but its financial resources are limited to around $790 billion. Unlike a central bank, the fund cannot expand its balance sheet with a click on a keyboard. It does, however, have one tool to augment instantaneously the international reserves of its members, allocating special drawing rights, or SDRs. An increase in SDRs would instantly increase each IMF member's international reserves. And they claim this would significantly benefit poorer countries and help build confidence at a time of global crisis, dramatically demonstrating international cooperation. Now, so far, there are around 204.2 billion SDRs out there, equivalent to around $293 billion. And that includes 186.6 billion SDRs allocated in 2009 in the wake of the global financial crisis. Now, the SDR serves as the unit of account of the IMF and some other international organizations. And Kristalina Georgieva, the managing director of the IMF, recently issued this statement at the conclusion of an informal discussion of the IMF's executive directors on the technical case for a special drawing rights general allocation. She said, "I'm very encouraged by initial discussions on the possibility of a $650 billion SDR allocation. By addressing the long-term global need for reserve assets, a new SDR allocation would benefit all our member countries and support the global recovery from the COVID-19 crisis. It would also be a powerful signal of the IMF membership's determination to do everything possible to overcome the worst recession since the Great Depression. To this end, executive directors conveyed broad support among fund members for IMF staff to formulate a proposal for a new SDR allocation equivalent to $650 billion to provide additional liquidity to the global economic system by supplementing the reserve assets of the fund's 190 member countries. I intend to present by June a formal proposal to the executive board to consider a new allocation of $650 billion based on an assessment of IMF member countries' long-term global reserve needs and consistent with the Articles of Agreement and the IMF's mandate. IMF staff will develop new measures to enhance transparency and accountability in the use of SDRs while preserving the reserve asset characteristic of the SDR. In parallel, staff would also explore options for members with strong financial positions to reallocate SDRs to support vulnerable and low-income countries. If approved, a new allocation of SDRs would add a substantial direct liquidity boost to countries without adding to debt burdens. It would also free up badly needed resources of member countries to help fight the pandemic, including to support vaccination programs and other urgent measures. And it would complement the range of tools deployed by the IMF to support our membership in this time of crisis. Wow. Another source of liquidity from an unelected global body. And by way of background, the IMF created the SDR in 1969 to supplement other reserve assets of member countries. It is not a currency, but is based on a basket of international currencies comprising the US dollar, the Japanese yen, the euro, the pound sterling, and the Chinese renminbi. SDRs are both assets and liabilities of the IMF. Now hold that thought, both assets and liabilities. It's a book entry. Created from nothing, fiat at its finest. Now, they're allocated to members in proportion to their share of IMF quotas. A member can transfer SDRs to another member and receive credit in a convertible or hard currency, for example, US dollars or euros. The current interest rate on this credit is at its minimum of 0.050%. So in practice, an SDR allocation is a low-cost way of adding to members' international reserves, allowing members to reduce their reliance on their limited reserves at a time of crisis. Listen to that again. Adding to members' international reserves, allowing members to reduce their reliance on their limited reserves at a time of crisis. SDRs are the IMF's reserve asset and are exchangeable for dollars, euros, sterling, yen, and Chinese yuan or renminbi. An allocation of SDRs requires approval by IMF members holding 85% of the total votes. Because the United States holds 16.5% of the votes, Washington's view is decisive. The IMF issues SDRs to its member countries' central banks as a reserve asset, i.e. an asset they can easily exchange for hard currency with another central bank, and most central banks voluntarily carry out this exchange. But if not, the IMF has the power to decree who must accept the SDRs. The value of an SDR is set daily. A new SDR allocation can be done very quickly. Once there is enough support among the international community, the formal IMF processes only take a couple of months. For example, in 2009, the IMF officially proposed an SDR allocation to its board in early June, and countries received their SDRs at the end of August. Now, the United States has signaled it's open to a new issuance of around 500 billion US dollars, a clear shift, by the way, in position under the administration of new US President Joe Biden. Germany and Italy are also backing a 500 billion issuance. Some reports, however, suggested a larger SDR allocation, as much as 1 trillion in two tranches, one in 2021 and the other in 2022. Economists at Morgan Stanley say there is a practical reason for the size of these proposals. The IMF does not have any specific limits on SDR allocations, but US law limits the size of an SDR allocation that the Treasury Secretary can accept and vote for without pre-approval by Congress. It cannot be more than the size of the US quota at the IMF. This effectively limits the size of any single SDR allocation to about, guess what? 680 billion US dollars. Ah, that magic 680 billion. Now, of course, we understand why that amount was picked. Since SDRs are allocated pro rata in relation to a country's IMF quota, the distribution is heavily skewed towards the bigger and richer countries that arguably have the least need for it. The United States, the European Union, and the United Kingdom alone would receive nearly half of the new liquidity. In fact, one IMF expert told Reuters that a 500 billion increase would deliver just $14 billion in reserves to low-income countries and $60 billion to emerging markets more broadly. It could be much higher too if the richer countries chose to lend on or donate some of their new SDRs. Once divided out, a $500 billion increase would work out at the equivalent of around 1.3% of emerging market countries' annual gross domestic product, Morgan Stanley calculated. There would be much bigger winners, though, for Zambia or Suriname, which are both currently in default. It'll be worth 5-6% of GDP, and a 500 billion rise would increase developing countries' foreign exchange reserves by around 8%, from only 1% in the case of China to a significant 21 or 22% for Bahrain and Ecuador. Other countries that would also see more than 10% increases relative to existing foreign exchange reserves include Pakistan, Sri Lanka, and Ghana. Well, if you're still with me, here are more details about the history of SDRs. The special drawing right is an interest-bearing international reserve asset created by the IMF in 1969 to supplement other reserve assets of member countries. The SDR was created as a supplementary international reserve asset in the context of the Bretton Woods fixed exchange rate system. The collapse of Bretton Woods in 1973 and the shift of major currencies to floating exchange rate regimes lessened the reliance on the SDR as a global reserve asset. Nonetheless, SDR allocations can play a role in providing liquidity and supplementing member countries' official reserves, as was the case amid the global financial crisis. The SDR is indeed based on a basket of international currencies, including the US dollar, Japanese yen, euro, pound sterling, and Chinese renminbi. It's not a currency, nor a claim on the IMF, but is potentially a claim on freely usable currencies of IMF members. The value of the SDR is set daily by the IMF on the basis of fixed currency amounts of the currencies included in the SDR basket and the daily market exchange rate between the currencies included in the SDR basket. SDRs are only allocated to IMF members that elect to participate in the SDR department. Currently, all members of the IMF are members of the SDR department. And SDRs can be held and used by member countries, the IMF, and certain designated official entities called prescribed holders. But it cannot be held, for example, by private entities or individuals. Its status as a reserve asset derives from the commitments of members to hold and exchange SDRs and accept the value of SDRs as determined by the fund. The SDR also serves as the unit of account of the IMF, and some other international organisations and financial obligations may also be denominated in SDRs. Only members that are not participants, non-members, and official entities may be prescribed as holders of SDRs under the Articles of Agreement. Currently, there are 15 prescribed holders, 4 central banks, the European Central Bank, the Bank of Central African States, the Central Bank of West African States, and the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank, 3 intergovernmental monetary institutions, the Bank for International Settlements, the Latin American Reserve Fund, an Arab Monetary Fund, and 8 development institutions, the African Development Bank, the African Development Fund, the Asian Development Bank, International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, and the International Development Association, the Islamic Development Bank, the Nordic Investment Bank, and International Fund for Agricultural Development. The SDR was initially defined as equivalent to 0.888671 grams of fine gold, which at the time was also equivalent to $1. After the collapse of the Bretton Woods system, the SDR was redefined as a basket of currencies. Currencies included in SDR baskets have to meet two criteria, the export criteria and the freely usable criteria. A currency meets the export criteria if its issuer is an IMF member or a monetary union that includes IMF members and is also one of the top 5 world exporters. For a currency to be determined freely usable by the IMF, it has to be widely used to make payments for international transactions and widely traded in the principal exchange markets. Freely usable currencies can be used in fund financial transactions. The SDR basket is reviewed every 5 years or earlier if warranted to ensure that the basket reflects the relative importance of currencies in the world's trading and financial system. The reviews cover the key elements of the SDR methods of valuation, including criteria and indicators used in selecting SDR basket currencies, and the initial currency weight used in determining the amounts, the number of units, of each currency in the SDR basket. These currency amounts remain fixed over the five-year SDR valuation period, but the actual weights of currencies in the basket fluctuate as cross-exchange rates among the basket currencies move. The value of the SDR is determined daily based on market exchange rates. The reviews are also used to assess the appropriateness of the financial instruments comprising the SDR rate basket. During the last review, which was concluded in November 2015, the board decided that the Chinese renminbi met the criteria for SDR basket inclusion. Following that decision, the Chinese renminbi joined the US dollar, the euro, the Japanese yen, and the British pound sterling in the SDR basket from 1 October 2016, and the three-month benchmark yield for China Treasury bonds was included in the rate basket. During the 2015 review, the board also approved a new formula, assigning equal shares of the currency's issuance exports and a composite financial indicator to determine the weights of currencies in the SDR basket. The next review is due in August 2020. Determined weekly, based on a weighted average of representative interest rates on short-term government debt instruments in the money markets of the SDR basket currencies, the rate has a floor of 5 basis points, and it's posted regularly on the IMF website. This provides the basis for calculating the interest rate charged to members on their non-concessional borrowing from the IMF and paid to members for their remunerated creditor positions in the IMF. It also is the interest paid to members on their SDR holdings and charged on their SDR allocations. The Article of Agreement determines that under certain conditions, the IMF may allocate SDRs to members participating in the SDR department. Currently, that's all members of the IMF. And in particular, a general allocation of SDRs might be consistent with the objective of meeting the long-term global needs to supplement existing reserve assets and receive broad support from the IMF's membership. Remember, an allocation requires the Board of Governors' approval by an 85% majority of the total voting power of the members in the SDR department. Once agreed, the allocation is distributed to member countries in proportion to their quota shares at the fund. A special one-time allocation in 2009 enabled countries that joined the IMF after 1981, that was after the previous allocation, to participate in the SDR system on an equitable basis. And participating members and prescribed holders can buy and sell SDRs in the voluntary market. If required, the IMF can also designate members to buy SDRs from other participants. SDRs may be used by IMF members and the IMF itself in accordance with the Articles of Agreement and decisions adopted by the Executive Board and Board of Governors. Now here's the rub. An SDR allocation is a way of supplementing fund member countries' foreign exchange reserves, allowing members to reduce their reliance on more expensive domestic or external debt for building reserves. A direct benefit of a general SDR allocation, indeed the purpose of such an allocation under the fund's Articles of Agreement, is to supplement existing reserve assets to help meet a long-term global need. This boosts buffers and bolsters international economic resilience, and of course is smoke and mirrors because it's fiat. SDRs are also a means to provide timely support to countries in need. SDR allocations are distributed across the membership in proportion to IMF shares. Around 42.2% corresponds to the share of emerging markets and developing economies, of which 3.2% corresponds to low-income countries. By helping stabilize emerging market and developing countries, an SDR allocation can help mitigate risks of economic and social fragility, minimize spillovers, and enhance stability of international monetary systems and support a sustainable and resilient global recovery. The fund allocated a total of 204.2 SDRs, equivalent to around $318 billion, including three general allocations and one-time special allocation. Specifically, 9.3 billion SDRs allocated in yearly installments between 1970 and 72, 12.1 billion SDRs allocated in yearly installments between 1979 and 81, 161.2 billion SDRs allocated on August 28, 2009, by far the biggest allocation to date. A special one-time allocation of 21.5 SDR billion took effect on September the 9th, 2009, to correct for the fact that members that had joined the IMF after 1981 had never received an allocation. In addition, new members to the fund receive an SDR allocation upon their participation in the SDR department. And the IMF's SDR department keeps records of SDR allocations to members and holdings of SDRs by members and prescribed holders. The SDR department is also the channel through which all transactions and operations involving SDRs are conducted. Once allocated, members can hold their SDRs as part of their foreign exchange reserves or sell or use part or all of their SDR allocations. Members can exchange SDRs for freely usable currencies among themselves and with prescribed holders. Such exchange can take place under a voluntary arrangement or under mandatory designated plans on members with sufficiently strong external positions, which serves as the ultimate backstop for the SDR market. Since 1987, the SDR market has functioned through voluntary arrangements without the need to activate the designation plan. IMF members can also use SDRs in a range of other authorised operations among themselves, for example, loans, payment of obligations, pledges, and in operations and transactions involving the IMF, such as the payment of interest on and the repayment of loans or payment for quota increases. Under current decisions of the IMF Executive Board authorising the use of SDRs, SDR department participants and prescribed SDR holders are permitted to buy and sell SDRs both spot and forward, borrow, lend or pledge SDRs, use SDRs in swaps, or use or receive SDRs in donations. SDR department participants with strong external positions have historically used some of their SDR holdings to help countries in need. For instance, during the current crisis, several countries have used part of their SDR holdings to expand the IMF's concessional financing by scaling up the IMF's Poverty Reduction and Growth Trust, the PRGT, loan resources. Total new PRGT loan resources mobilised to date as part of the PRGT's fast-track loan mobilisation round launched just last spring was $24 billion, of which two-thirds or around $15 billion are from the use of existing SDRs. And in fact, Australia last year agreed to participate in this scheme by contributing 500 SDRs to the PTRG. All done on the quiet, by the way, and signed, it seems, by Josh Frydenberg. Now, an SDR allocation is cost-free. An SDR allocation involves two elements: an increase in the SDR department's participants, currently all for members, allocation of SDRs, the liabilities, and a matching increase in its holding of SDR assets. It's a balance sheet item, really. The SDR department pays interest on SDR holdings to each member and levies charges on SDR allocations of each member at the same rate. That's the SDR rate. Thus, an SDR allocation is cost-free to all members because charges and interest net out to zero if the country does not use their SDR allocations. Participants incur a very small annual levy to cover the operational costs of the SDR department, recently around 0.001% levied on the cumulative allocation of each participant. But the use of SDRs is not cost-free. The use of SDRs occurs when a country reduces its SDR holdings vis-a-vis its cumulative SDR allocation. Countries that use their SDRs will incur net charges on the difference between their cumulative SDR allocations and their SDR holdings. The SDR interest rate, as at February 23rd, was about 0.05%. Members that receive SDRs, either under a voluntary transaction or by designation, have to provide foreign exchange in exchange, effectively replacing one reserve by another. And for more than three decades, the SDR market was purely functioning on a voluntary basis. Various fund members and one prescribed SDR holder have agreed to stand ready to buy and sell SDRs on a voluntary basis, and the fund facilitates transactions between members seeking to sell or buy SDRs and those counterparties to the voluntary arrangements that effectively make a market in SDRs. Under the guidance of the fund, participants in the SDR department can also enter into bilateral transactions between themselves or with prescribed holders, and in the event that there is not enough voluntary buyers of SDRs, the IMF can designate members with strong balance of payments positions to provide freely usable currency in exchange for SDRs. This so-called designation mechanism ensures that a participant can use its SDRs to readily obtain an equivalent amount of currency if it has a need for such a currency because of its balance of payments, its reserve position, or developments in its resources. The designation mechanism has not been activated since 1987. The SDR interest rate is determined weekly on each Friday and is based on a weighted average of representative interest rates on three-month debt in the money markets of the five SDR basket of currencies. Now, let's just think about whether this is a good thing or not. Is there a general need to increase international liquidity? Now, of course, many will argue that the international scramble for the US dollar in the COVID-19 pandemic demonstrates that there is a general need. The Federal Reserve's liquidity facilities are available mostly to advanced countries and emerging market central banks, but that leaves out much of the developing world. Then, of course, there's the question of whether this increased allocation would lead to an increase in inflation as countries spend their SDRs. Now, some would argue that from the global financial crisis of 2007-9 and the developments since then, inflation has not been a problem, and in fact, all of this liquidity could be seen as deflationary. Third, the SDR would probably be most allocated to countries without imposing any conditions on recipient countries' economic policies. In the COVID-19 pandemic, providing financial assistance without strings attached seems to be the number one approach being used by countries. So the question is, would that be different this time? And fourth, the SDR would be allocated to countries that do not need a boost to their international reserves. Such countries would actually not need to use their SDRs, but along with no benefit, there'd be no cost. On the other hand, an SDR allocation can be implemented quickly. A decision by the IMF, for example, on May 1, could make the distribution by early August, which probably could still be within the range of the pandemic. SDRs should be allocated quickly to maximise their positive impact on global economic confidence and their usefulness to recipient countries. Consequently, the proposal should confront the minimum of legal barriers in member countries for the United States. The law limits the size of the US quotas we discussed. Third, the 76 low-income and other countries that are potentially eligible for loans from the World Bank's International Development Association would receive around $22 billion in SDRs. Now, that amount might look tiny, but actually it would amount to 9.4% of their combined international reserves. So 22 of the 76 countries, the boost would be 20% or more, and the $22 billion total compares favourably with average annual commitments over the past 3 years of $21.2 billion and disbursements of $14.9 billion. And fourth, countries that do not immediately need their SDR can lend or give them to other countries, or lend or give them to the IMF. But my key point is this. This is yet another massive liquidity injection following so many from reserve banks around the world and, of course, the Fed, and following all of the government stimulus being thrown there. This is just adding more fuel to the fire. Frankly, this just shows that we're all singing from the same hymn sheet here because we're all neoliberals and we all think that more liquidity solves everything. It doesn't. It won't. And I want to remind you that there is no simple way back from this massive swamping of liquidity globally. And whether it leads to inflation or deflation, and really whether it will lead to a better economic outlook or not, are huge questions. But it's worth noting the IMF, a non-elected global entity, supported, of course, by so many large countries around the world, directly and indirectly, are completely free to do this. They can basically exercise quickly and effectively and flood the market with more liquidity. I just don't think that anybody is thinking this through. And my own view is that this is just one more step towards liquidity oblivion. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.